Welcome to Social Studies Voices Across America. I'm Bill Wood, and the person I'm with?
Peter Goldsmith.
Peter Goldsmith, old friends. What's great about this is that Peter lives in North Carolina and I'm in California, so we can look at the issues that we're talking about through separate ends of the country. Been involved in broadcasting myself, Bill Wood, since the Kent State shooting, 1970. I remember walking into the newsroom when that was going on, and it was a massive change in my life. Been in broadcasting, radio, writing on the web, writing for newspapers. So a lot of media, a lot of communications, taught it a little bit. And so you get a little idea of who I am and what I'm about. How about you, Peter?
I've been involved in broadcasting, mainly television, since May the 1st, 1980. I've been in the newsroom a good part of it. I've written a lot of news. Been involved in entertainment, sports programs, documentaries, and now, of course, up on the web.
That's a little bit about who we are, how we're comfortable we'll be behind this microphone, and you could decide what you think about what we're going to be saying in these podcasts that'll be coming up. The big headline, and if you're listening to this on the web, the big headline that will impact your life is net neutrality and what that means, how that will have an impact on your life.
Yeah, Bill, you know, that's interesting to me because this net neutrality thing has been going on for quite a long time. As you said before we were off the air, the web used to be non-political. But in the last 20 or so years, that's not true anymore. Unfortunately, that's not true about a lot of things we have in this country. And we've batted this ball back and forth, back and forth. The answer really for me is, what does it mean to me? Our audience, as you know, are folks who are fairly well educated, above the age of 60. What does it really mean to us?
So let's look a little bit of background here before we get into the discussion of the topic. Net neutrality is the principle that internet service providers must treat all data on the internet the same. They can't discriminate or change or charge differently for internet content for any reason.
Yeah, that was what it was. Now that's about to change. And is that going to be good or bad is one of the things we should discuss.
In fact, the internet was created more than 50 years ago. People think this is a modern phenomena, but it's not. It was to be a space where information could be exchanged freely. It was created largely for the educational and military universes, just so people could talk to each other without having to go through politicians. It wasn't until the early 90s when the graphic interface of the World Wide Web was applied to the text-based internet that the net took off in the general public. It was always designed to be an open space for people to exchange ideas and, in some cases, products.
Yeah, and oftentimes, Bill, as you know, free is always better for most of us. We always want everything free. Who doesn't? But in some cases, perhaps, free is really not the answer.
But free spaces that engage millions, when millions gather in one place, there'll always be an attraction to people who want to make money by charging or selling to those millions of people. Understand that net neutrality, voted on by the Federal Communications Commission in December, is an American issue. It doesn't have any impact on people that are looking at the web in England, in France, in Portugal, in Africa. And pretty much everyone supports the concept. 83%. 83% believe that we should keep net neutrality the way it is. And that's, according to the university poll done by the University of Maryland, 75% of those people are GOP, 89% are Democrat, 86% are independents. You get nothing in the culture that is agreed on by everybody.
Well, that's for sure, Bill. That's the case all the way through. But what's interesting here is the government now says that it will no longer regulate what's on the internet. The government now says, and again, two things here. It's the, one of them is the government, and the other is what they say. And both of those, we can discuss it in a later podcast, but we know that ain't always the case, quote
what's
unquote.
What's happening isn't always what's going on.
Exactly. So is this deregulation going to be good? Is it going to take constraints off people? Or is it, unfortunately, going to leave a lot of people behind? And that's going to be a problem if it does.
So there's regulations that are put in place that were repealed, were put in place in 2015, and they were successful in blocking internet service providers, the people that give you access to what was called the superhighway, people like Verizon, Comcast, Spectrum, all the people that give you access to the web. They were blocked them from charging for public access to the internet. The FCC vote on December 14th would repeal those regulations and open the door for just about anything from cable TV style access fees to outright denial of access onto the internet superhighway. But there'll be a chance for an appeal that's being arranged now, and the last ditch effort that we could look at to stop this from happening is maybe, very long shot, maybe something from Congress.
Yeah, and what you said, maybe a long shot, is a hope and a prayer, Bill, because this deregulation was pushed through by the FCC, which is a five-member board. Three of those members are Republican. Two of them are Democratic. The chairman, Ajit Pai, I hope I'm saying his name right, is a Republican, and he cast a deciding vote. Now to be repealed.
A man, excuse me, Peter, a man who was put in place by Barack Obama.
Correct.
To put on the board, but it was President Trump who made him the chairman of the FCC.
Correct. And to overturn that, you'll need Congress to do that. And as you and I both know, Congress right now, as we sit, is primarily Republican, quote unquote. That ain't happening.
Yeah, it's not happening.
Not right now.
There's too much money. And you should have. We could have looked at this a while ago. When you get millions, I remember when they talked about $10 or $12, $15 billion being commerce being done on the internet. I remember 10, 15 years ago when they talked about this, I said, who in the world is going to be buying things online? And now, if it's available, I'm going to buy it online. Amazon has taken over, shut down the people that were important in our lives, like Sears, JCPenney. We grew up, they were the number one retailers, and now Amazon has all but knocked them out of business.
Yeah, and I think what happens here is, and this is a worry of mine, the big guys always kick aside the smaller guys. So with the small startups, that's going to really suffer from this. If Verizon tells you, if it's your provider, you can't get there from here. You can't do that. Well, where does the small guy go? Where does the entrepreneurial spirit fit in when you've got all the big dogs running everything? And that's the problem, because as you and I both know, small entrepreneurs are really what runs this country. You know, we look at Facebook and we say, oh my God, what a behemoth. Facebook started out with a young guy, Mark Zuckerberg, who thought with a bunch of his cronies from Harvard that he could do something important and useful. So it was a startup. If it happened today, would it be where it is today, or would it have been kicked aside because it had no air to breathe?
Or would it be in front of Congress answering questions about how they manipulate the data that they gather on us, the demography of the people who use Facebook? In fact, let's go into this a little bit. As we've seen, it might change the way we access the internet. ISPs may charge us money for how we use it. There'll be like your basic cable number is smaller than access to everything.
Right.
So if they were going to put fees on how you access the internet, maybe they charge you $5 a month. And for those $5 a month, you get Facebook, you get Twitter, and maybe one other to Instagram so that you can handle your social media online. You pay $5 a month for that.
But it's also going to change your streaming, and that's kind of important to a lot of us. In other words, that original $5 per month will not allow you to stream video.
Exactly.
Or it may not allow you those things, which a lot of us, as you said, I do live in North Carolina, but I do have grandchildren on the West Coast, and my wife and I anxiously await the little videos they sent us, and we stream them, and they're wonderful, and that's how we stay in touch with family all over the country. That may now be a higher price. That may be at a different level. For many of us, that's okay. We can understand it. But for a great many of us, that puts it out of reach, and that's where the unfairness resolves in this stuff for me.
Yeah, exactly. And things like FaceTime that you would use to talk to your grandchild who's in California, North Carolina, that might be a different tier. So instead of paying $5 a month for Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, maybe you got to pay $10 a month and you start getting into streaming there where you can look at FaceTime and maybe Netflix. The $10 you're already paying for Netflix, you got to pay $10 to access that $10.
Yeah.
And it grows from there.
Yeah, and that's the point. The progressions are no longer arithmetic. They're geometric.
Yeah, right.
So as you go further and further into it, you wind up with a huge bill for what you're now not paying for. How do we reach an adjustable median? How do we say these are what's needed? These are what are public utilities? Because the internet has been gauged up until this point as a public utility.
And that allowed the rules in 2015, that was an argument to get those rules that it was a public utility.
Right.
It was important to the handling of things. So it's not just money. And maybe this is a point to jump onto another rail here. If, for example, your ISP is Goldsmith
Internet Service Provider, ISP, for those of us like me who don't know that.
Your Internet Service Provider is Goldsmith Wood, and we decide who's going to access the Internet through us. And you pay your money, and let's say you pay $100 a month to access everything, because I can afford it, it's important to me, that's what I'm going to do. But if we decide that the Acme political party is putting together a website and they're promoting things that Goldsmith Wood no longer is interested in having you hear, then you can get access to that website, but maybe everything in that website you're not going to get smoothly, like the videos that they stream from it, the audio that they stream from it, the pictures that come up easily. It's called throttling down, where they don't allow the full access, the full speed of that website to come to you, even though you're paying $100 a month to access it.
Yeah, and what they're calling it is paid prioritization. What is priority and what will you pay for?
Yeah, right.
So in other words, what you're saying right away is you're going against the grain of everything else. Water costs a certain amount of money every month, okay? All those things cost a certain amount of money. They're public utilities. You know, your public utility provider can't all of a sudden go, well, electric bill is $40 a month, now it's going to be $200 a month. They're not allowed to do that because it's regulated, because people need it. The price of milk when I was a younger kid used to be regulated. You couldn't charge $5 a gallon because people needed it. They had to feed their children. It's the same thing here. You know, we think of the internet as a place to shop and to perhaps even surf and so forth and so on, but it's an integral part of all of our lives right now, getting information, learning about things, figuring out. I came to your house this morning, Bill. There's no way I could have gotten here without a GPS. I'd still be on the highway going around backwards.
Yeah, right.
And those are things which are important to all people. The problem is we can no longer afford to leave people behind. We need to bring everybody up. And I'm afraid this will not do that.
What's crazy, many years ago, let's say 20 years ago, transponder on a satellite, the thing that signals get bounced off of, so you could use that satellite to send information anywhere. A transponder went down. A satellite went down. And we lost access to not just things on the web. We lost access to putting your card in the machine in the gas pump at the filling station. You couldn't, because they use the internet to gather all of that data in one central location.
Yeah.
So if but that data is controlled, an ISP, an internet service provider, because they control all the access that goes to that superhighway to the internet. If they start charging for the Acme gas company, the petroleum company, to access so you could pay for your gasoline, then that's going to raise the cost of your gasoline. There's no end to where this can go.
Yeah. Now, the other side of that, because we're trying to be as fair as we can, of course we're not, but we're trying to be, is without these regulations, the large providers, the Verizons, the Comcast, the Spectrums, and so forth, are saying if you could take these regulations off, which are costing us a heck of a lot of money, we could now expand services to people. We could now upgrade our equipment. We could now have better interactivity on the web. We could do all of these things for you once the price of regulating everything was removed. I'm not saying it's true or false. Whatever your thoughts are on big business, you probably have a feeling on that. But at least it's not some evil cabal. It's people with different ideas. And I think that's an important fact. We're talking about this and everything we're going to talk about later on. No one is calling anyone evil or bad, at least publicly. What we're trying to do here is say, what are the thinking, what are the thought processes of what goes into this? Whether we believe them or not, that's our own business. But at least we need to begin to open a dialogue on this kind of discussion, on this kind of thing, with a discussion rather than with you're a this and I'm a that, because that hasn't worked. And I think everyone would agree we're at a place right now where, you know, emotions have overtaken facts. And rational thinking is a thing of the past. We need to get back to that, and we need to figure out what we want the country to look like, what we want to leave our children and grandchildren and so forth and so on. Is this really a good idea for us? Quite frankly, without casting, I'm not sure. Let me leave it at that. I'm not sure. My thoughts tell me from my heart, no, it's not a good thing.
Let's step back even broader as we start to widen this thing up. Intellectual property rights is going to be the key issue of our generation. Who owns ideas? Can you patent an idea? Can you copyright or trademark an idea? And if you do, who owns that? Who controls that? Who could charge for that idea? That's going to be the creations of the mind. Who's going to control that going into the future? And it's become so important that those are going to be the main arguments that we have on net neutrality, on any of a million other things. There are whole industries being established, especially in the legal industry, of how we control who owns. Who can say that this is my idea and you can't use it?
Yeah. You know, that's interesting, Bill, because I just been reading an author by the name of Jaron Lanier, who has written a book called Who Owns the Future or Who Will Own the Future. And that's exactly what we're talking about. Exactly. Where do we all fit in this great cosmic plan? And, you know, as we narrow down the 1% that everyone talks about, the other 99% need to have a voice. And this idea of this repealing regulations, to me, takes a voice out of the hands of that 99%. But and I agree, let's wrap this up. I always, if we're going to talk and people are going to give us the privilege of listening to us, then let's have a call for action in one sense. What can we do as proponents of either side of this. What can we do? What will make a difference?
The main thing that we could do, Peter, is participate. Vote. I've had people, a woman that I cared a lot for, laughed at me because I was worried about who was going to win an election and while we were dating. And I was talking about this and watching the news. And I could not believe that this intelligent person was bringing that issue up to me. And we're no longer dating because I can't abide someone who doesn't understand, especially now after last November 8th, 2016, the people who stayed home and didn't participate because they thought there's no way that this man could win and I don't like her are suffering now because the man won. If you have one party, whether it's Republicans or Democrats or ACMEs, whatever that party is, if one party controls everything, then one party is, it's not, the major fallacy in democracy is that everybody participates. Democracy is mob rule. And if you're not out there as a part of the mob, then you're going to get ruled upon.
Yeah.
And we're finding out that that's the case now, that the Republicans have decided this is what we want. We won. Go sit down.
Yeah. And, you know, that was the reasoning behind Agnetus Life. When we created it, we felt that those of us who are 60 plus don't have a voice anymore. Nobody wants to listen to us. Everybody is 20 and 30. Well, we have been around, some of us more than 60 years, some of us a lot longer. However, we are more valuable now than ever. We have a life built upon a work ethic, a life built upon knowledge, a life built upon ideals and things that we can really do. And I think it's time for us to get back into the fray. Most of us are lucky enough to have a little bit of free time. Our children are gone. Hopefully our mortgages are paid or at least mostly paid off. And we're all driving 12-year-old cars, which we've paid for, which is all good. But we really need to, as you said, Bill, get involved. You know, go online while you still can and find out who's saying what. What are your congressmen saying? What are your senators saying? What do you believe in? What don't you believe in? You know, in the old days, we used to write postcards and letters to those guys. Well, now, at least for now, it's a lot easier. There's petitions online you can do. There's places you can meet other people who feel the same way you do. There are things we can actually do. Our government belongs to us. This is our country, and it's up to us to take us out of the doldrums and make ourselves better. I'm not going to quote the president's saying because that's something else, but we really need to do this stuff, and I think net neutrality is a really big issue here, and it's going to get bigger and bigger as we vote, and I believe it'll get contentious, so we need to figure out what side we're going to stand on.
And on that, that's it. That's our first attempt at social studies, Voices Across America. When we were taking social studies classes,
right.
All of this was alien language.
Oh, yeah.
There was no way we were going to talk about something. The internet existed when we were in school, but I'll always remember when in the early 90s, I called my brother-in-law who was working on his PhD at the time. What are you doing? Well, I'm looking at a computer in Australia and reading a document in Germany. I was like, whoa, now we take that for granted.
Yeah, sure.
And this is the impact of the World Wide Web without going into a lot of history. I remember the first time I signed on to the internet, took a piece of paper, followed all the instructions through a company in San Diego, and I'm on the line. Okay, I did it. I hit the enter button and sat there, and there was a little yellow cursor blinking on my screen on my computer. I said, well, what do I do now? And the computer was saying the same thing. Hey, dude, it's on you.
Yeah.
I put the whole thing aside for a couple of years, and then the World Wide Web came in and made that graphical interface very easy to access. The www follows the HTTP for a reason. It's an overlay, very powerful overlay but it makes it possible for the graphic stuff to come on board for you to sit there on Amazon and buy another chair. That's because of the internet, and some people want to take that right away from you.
And that's all we got.